We talked last week about Mission Possible or Project Possible. That is what we're calling Next Door, because we know with man it's impossible, but with God it is more than possible. And so what we're doing over this next few weeks is just stretching our heart, just reminding ourselves of the words of Jesus, just reminding ourselves of what the Bible says to encourage our spirits to believe. And we might find, and maybe we saw it last week and we're going to find it this week, that maybe, just maybe, because of the way life has been and because of the things that we have faced, that maybe our expectation and our anticipation and our faith has kind of dropped a bit, and we've kind of just started going with the flow. But God just wants to arrest that and say, come on, with me, anything is possible. And so Next Door, we call it Project Possible, because we know that through him, it's his idea, it's his plan, it's his game, he's going to make it come through. And we simply follow and be faithful what God has called us with. So this morning, what we're going to think about is this. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Because here's what I've found, is that we know a lot of stuff in life, and yes, it can encourage us, and yes, it can bring us from A to B, and it can help us to be crafty in some areas and have wisdom in other areas. But what tends to happen is what we know starts to dominate over and over and over again. And here's what I've learned. It's not what you know when it comes to things of faith, although that is important. It's who you know in terms of Jesus. Because sometimes he just changes what you thought was just the way it was going to be. I just thought it was always going to be like this, Lord. I just thought nothing would ever change. And yet then he comes and he messes the whole thing up. And suddenly somebody gets healed, or somebody gets saved, or breakthrough happens, or this event takes place. And we go to ourselves, wow. We even say this, it's unbelievable. Because we maybe got to a point where we're like, I just thought it was just going to be the same old thing. I just thought it was just going to keep going, just this, that. And so what we know is important, but who we know is even greater. And I want to talk about that this morning. It's amazing, this kind of analogy. We use it all the time in kind of general context out in the world. I remember years ago, fun story just to set the scene this morning. Years ago, I was working for just a small business in Armagh, just a computer business. Working for them, it's not where I wanted to be. I'd finished my degree. I wanted to move on. I wanted to go and make a stack of money. I wanted to be loaded, you know, that type of idea. And I ended up just getting this job, minimum wage. I was like, okay, Lord, go for it type of thing. I'll be faithful. I'll keep going. And so I got chatting to some of the guys in there, and there was one of the guys came to me, and he says, what are you doing here? I felt like the prodigal son, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to come to my senses, but I'm waiting for a great job with loads of money. It hasn't happened yet. And he turns around to me, and he was pretty hard against Christians, I'll say that. He didn't use pleasant words all the time, but I kind of liked him. And he goes to me, what are you doing here anyway? I says, look, I don't know. I'm waiting for something better to come along, but I'm going to be faithful with what God's given me already. And he's like, God, what? He just didn't like that part. But a few weeks go by, and he goes to this business kind of not far from there, just across the border. He comes back to me, and he says this, there's a programming job coming up over there. I told him all about you. I think you're going to be in for it. I was like, whoa, here's the guy who hated me because of my faith and all this, but I kind of never let it bother me. Just thought, I'll just be pleasant, I'll just be nice. And here he's coming, now he's my lead recruiter. You know, I don't need a recruitment agency, I've got a lead recruiter. He's working for me and he's already got me a job. Here was the amazing thing about that. I got there for the interview, I come to meet the boss, sit down in front of her, and she says to me, yeah, so pretty much when can you start? I'm like, you don't want to see a degree? You don't want to see a piece of paper? You don't want to ask me any questions? She's like, no. He told me everything about you. You're amazing. I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, the Lord will use whoever he needs to bless you. But it's not just what you know, it's who you know. And so I was able to take that position because of who I knew. And God's here this morning to say this, that I want to break you out of the tracks that you're in. Nothing wrong with running in the same lane. Nothing wrong with kind of running here and running hard and running true. But sometimes God comes along and he says, I just need to jump you a few steps. I just need to just do some miracle stuff. I just need to jump you out of that box. I need to pop you into this one. I need to do it because it's just the way I am. I want to bless you with favor. I just want to anoint you and get you out of here and move you there. And only God can do that. It makes no logical sense. There's just no reasons for it. Only God. I should have just been still working in that place. But because God had set it up that this guy who wasn't really a fond of me at the beginning, he becomes my lead recruiter. And by the end of it, his word gets me the job. She doesn't need to hear anything else. See, it's amazing what God can do when we remind ourselves it's who we know. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to stretch our faith and remind ourselves that God is a good God and he can change things at any time because he is the God of the impossible. We're going to read maybe like 11 verses this morning. We split it over two screens. We usually just read short verses. I want us to read this whole story we're going to look at this morning. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it's a story, maybe in the top of your Bible, it says the amazing catch of fish or something like that. So it's a story all about fishing. We're going to have a look at it. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one boat, one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, or Simon Peter as we would know him, asked him to put it out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they could be full, and they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, from now on you will be fishers for men, or fishers, fish for men, you will fish for men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed him. An incredible story, just this incredible story that maybe you've heard multiple times, of just this one day, everything changes. These guys who knew how to fish, and by the end of it, they're just the best fishermen anyone's ever seen. It's just a crazy story about fishing, but thankfully, it's so much more, because maybe this morning, you're thinking to yourself, I'm not too fussed on fishing. Let me tell you a quick story on fishing. Years ago, me and Granda used to go fishing. We weren't successful at it. We never caught more than about two. It took us about 10 hours to get them. We just thought it would always work like this. We would go, we'd get a dodgy fishing rod that would just about work, that maybe doesn't spin or do anything. We'd go and find a couple of worms, we'd stick it on the hook, we would throw that thing in, and then we'd just anticipate that a fish would want to jump on within about 2 minutes. But then, blimmin' fish, they would come nowhere near it. Sometimes they'd nibble the worm, sometimes they'd come over and tease us, and they'd run away. But you know what? We had fun in between. So fishing is a fun thing, but it's not that fun. And thankfully this morning, that this is not a story about fish. This is a story about so much more. And I want to encourage you in your life. You're maybe thinking to yourself, my whole life's about blimmin' bills. My whole life is about trying to get to sleep at night. My whole life is just trying to get through to the next moment. It's not. It is so much more than that. And yet in that, God will bless you, but he'll call you to far greater. And you see at the end of our story what God calls them to. These guys are hopeless. These guys are useless. They can't even catch fish. They need Jesus to come and do some fishing for them, and they're just supposed to be the professionals. And by the end of it, Jesus turns around and says, come follow me. You're going to change the world. You're going to change the world. Imagine that. He says the same to us this morning. You may know nothing about reaching souls. You may know nothing about the kingdom of God. But if you will follow me, you will change the world. Amen. That's what we're going to look at this morning. First point I want us to look at is this, one day. Verse 1, it says this, one day as Jesus was standing by. I want to encourage your hearts this morning, one day. Isn't it amazing what can happen in 24 hours? Isn't it amazing? You know, sometimes it just feels like nothing happens, and then in 24 hours, everything can happen. Does anybody remember a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago, when that couple, they said there was a couple from Northern Ireland, won like 114 million or something. I'm like, we need to get them to the church. 10% of that, we're sorted. 10% is all we need. I was like, whoa, could you imagine that? I don't know what their lives were before, but they were just going by. I didn't know what they're doing, wasting loads of money trying to buy lottery tickets that never work. And then one day, they're like, what? 112, 115 million, whatever it is. It's incredible. And it just shows us this morning that one day can change everything. Of course, maybe one day for you was like just everyone was going rosy in the garden. Everything was taking place. Everything was happening really well. And then suddenly, a baby's born, and your life is forever changed. Then suddenly, a baby's born, and it's never the same again. Ask some of our new moms and dads. Ask Stephen. Don't ask him. Leave him alone. A baby comes, you're forever changed. Forever changed. But what you do is this, you turn around and go, it's going to be worth it, it's going to be worth it, it's going to be worth it. You just keep praying. I mean, your prayer life just goes through the roof, and you just keep praying. Or, of course, I mean, there could be other things. 24 hours, it could be an accident. I mean, it could be forever changed. It could just be really crazy, and it could be forever changed you, forever changed your family. 24 hours, we like to think of the good stuff, but also there can be a lot of negative that can happen in 24 hours. But I love this story because of just where it starts off, just one day. because we can find ourselves, because of the 1,000 days that's been before, or maybe the 500 mundane days that's been before, just those normal days. You know those normal days you think are just never going to end? It's amazing that they can have just as much impact on our lives as that one day. Because the day after day, nothing ever changing. You know what you start to believe? You start to say that. Nothing ever changes for me. It's always going to be like this. It's never going to change. What did we look at last week? We looked at the woman with 12 years. She had an issue. 12 years she had a problem. She just couldn't fix it. I think she probably in the middle of that 12 years started to wonder, is it ever going to change? Is it ever going to change? Is anything ever going to happen? She probably gave up hope. She probably thought, there's no point hoping anymore. Have you ever been in that position? There's probably no point hoping anymore because it's just annoying me more. It's just getting me down more. And then what happened? One day, Jesus comes, forever changed. And church, this morning, it's the same in our lives. If you're a Christian, if you're born again, one day Jesus came into your life and you were forever changed. But what can tend to happen is, because then we go back to these almost just normal days, back to work, back to this, back to that, we find ourselves thinking that that's all it is. And yet we need to realize that every day, every 24 hours is a blessing. It's a gift from God, that God wants to do something with it in our lives, and we've got to literally grab it. We've got to literally grab ourselves sometimes, grab yourself by the ear and pull yourself along and go, no, this day is better than me wishing it away. This day has more in store for me than I can understand. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Wow. It's not every day you can do that, but by faith, we have to say, Lord, help me in that. Lord, encourage me in this, because you have given me great days, and you have given me days that I can be a blessing for the kingdom. But watch out for the mundane days, because once they start to add up, they can have as much impact on your life as that one day. And then, unfortunately, what has happened before and what can happen, that one day can come and you miss it because you're like, no way, no way. And in this story this morning, we're going to see that the guys nearly missed it, but because of the goodness of God, he still pushed through anyway. God is so good, and he is so faithful. When those 1,000 days add up, when those mundane days add up, what do? They start to impact our lives. We start to say, this is going to be the way it's always going to be, but by faith and through faith and having Jesus, we know that he can change everything. You see, at the minute, we're doing our seats. We're saying to ourselves, you know what, if we could by faith go for these seats, everything could change. We're trying to live in a one-day mentality. We're trying to live in a one-day and say, hey, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to go for this thing. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to be a blessing over here. And God is so good. What he tries to do is he wants to get us excited in the one day and say, hey, come on, stay in this day. Don't be wishing it away. Don't be worrying about what's being behind. And many of us are worrying about what's being behind and what we wish we should have done or could have done. We can't do anything about it now. We trust the Lord, knowing that he is good and he is faithful. And so this morning and in these next few weeks and in this next few years, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to remind ourselves that today anything is possible because God is with me. We're trying to remind ourselves that just like Jesus at the edge of that lake, that one day everything changed because he was there. We're trying to remind ourselves because he lives in our hearts, we can have that impact each and every day. But what have we got to do with ourselves? What have we got to tell ourselves? We've got to remind ourselves of who we are. We've got to remind ourselves of God's word. We've got to get up. We've got to get ourselves in the right mindset. Maybe you need to get up in the morning and you need to take 5 minutes just to align your heart with God and say, God, this is going to be a good day in spite of what I have to face, in spite of what I have to go through, because I know why. You are with me. We got to get up and we got to encourage our own souls. We got to encourage our own hearts because it's vitally important. Otherwise, you know what we do? We push ourselves down and Jesus wants to lift us up. You see, I'm living in a one day because of what the Lord has done for me. I'm excited for today. Of course, I'm looking forward to tomorrow, but I'm excited for today, and I'm saying, Lord, what do you want to do in people's lives today? Who's the one person that you want to touch? Who's the one person you want to heal? Who's the one person you want to transform? Lord, maybe you want to change me. Lord, would you come and do it? And I've got to speak to myself, and I've got to encourage myself because I've been where you have been. Sometimes Monday morning comes or Tuesday morning comes, and I think to myself, oh, no, it's not going to be a good day. It's not going to be good. I just can't wait till this day is over. And that just mindset just gets on top of you. You know, I was feeling this week, let me share a personal story. Just feeling a pressure this week. I felt like a spiritual pressure this week for one of the evenings just at the end of the week. And I thought to myself, wow. And because I'm like, I purse through all of that stuff. I'm very good at pursing through, and I just trust God, and by faith, I'm just like, not having it, Lord. I just reject that kind of stuff. And I felt myself just sitting there feeling like a heaviness, and then I felt like God's almost inside of me going, this is not you. You've got to speak against it. This is not you. But I felt myself almost like trapped. You ever feel trapped, and you know what you want to say, and you know what you want to believe, and you know what you should believe, but you feel like trapped in your own thoughts? You know what I need to do? I went and had a good sleep. I went to bed early that night and had a good sleep. And I woke up the next morning and I said, Lord, it's going to be different today. It's going to be different today. Sometimes we've got to fight hard to remind ourselves, to remind our heart, to remind our head that God is in control and he can do the impossible. And I am more than an overcomer. Not positive thinking, not blanking ourselves out, not ignoring the things that we face, but just saying, God, you're greater in this situation. And no situation can remove my peace. Nothing can take my joy as much as it tries because God is with me. We're living in one day moments, church, and this is what God is looking us to react to and to live in. Verse 2, it says this, they saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. In other words, he said, hey, bring me out from the shore a bit. I want to preach from there. Then he sat down and taught the people. And I started to think about this. I started to ask myself the question. I was like, why does Jesus want to get in the boat and go out on the lake? Is it like, does he want to have a floating ministry? I don't know. Does he just want to have a change of scenery? Does he want to look like a big deal because he's got a boat and he's preaching from a boat? Has no one ever done that before? I mean, what's the goal here? What's Jesus trying to do? But of course, he's always trying to do something important, and yet sometimes we can miss it. And here's what Jesus is trying to do. Jesus knows that he wants to grab attention of Peter's heart. He knows Peter's going to be pretty significant in the ministry. And he's wondering this. He's wondering, will he follow me in the simple things? Will he follow me in the little things? Because if he'll be faithful with the little things, then I can trust him with the bigger things. If he'll follow me without asking a whole bunch of questions in the small things, even when he doesn't understand it, then I know when we get to the larger things, the bigger things, he's going to follow me. He's going to trust me because he'll say, Jesus didn't let me down here. He didn't let me down here. I can trust him here. That's what the Lord is looking to do with our lives. And he says to Peter, he says to Simon, he says, will you push the boat out a tiny bit? I want to preach from out here. Peter didn't come by and say, but Lord, what do you want to do this for? I mean, it'd be better on land. I mean, I'm tired from the night before. Could we not just chill? I would just like to relax. He says, okay, we'll do it. And sometimes the Lord just wants to grab our attention and say, hey, will you just do that simple thing? Like, just help out here or just pray for that person there. I mean, nobody's going to know. You aren't going to get a load of money for it. Nobody's going to pat you in the back for it. But will you just be faithful with that simple instruction? Will you just be a follower? I mean, sometimes I think we forget this. When we become Christians, we are Christ followers. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And yet sometimes that is the hardest challenge. But Lord, I've got loads of plans. But Lord, I want to do this. But Lord, I've got to go here. And yet, no, we are followers in simple terms. What are we? We are like sheep that have gone astray. But Jesus comes as the good shepherd, and he draws us back. He draws us back. Now, he's a great blesser. He's a great father. He's a great God, and he blesses us along the way. But we're not to be concerned with X, Y, and Z. We're to be concerned with J, Jesus. That's it. Follow him. That's all that I need to be concerned about. If I will be faithful with that, he'll be faithful with everything else. Jesus is trying to get Peter's attention, and he's wondering, will he be faithful? Peter doesn't know what's going on, so he goes for it anyway. Why does Jesus want to do it? We mentioned already. He wants to see, can I trust him with deeper things in the future? He wants to know, can I trust him when the game gets bigger, when life gets tougher, when things start to move? Can I trust him? And I put down a few things here this morning. I said this. Why do we need to always understand? Why do we always need to understand? Sometimes we will not. Why must I do this, Lord? Why must I go here? Why must I help this one? Why must I be this? And we ask all these different questions. And sometimes Jesus just needs us to do it and follow him and just be hearers and doers. Just be hearers and doers. Just be readers and goers. You know, just go and do the thing. We don't need to ask a bunch of questions because by faith we step out and we go for the things that God's called us to do. Jesus is doing something far deeper in Peter in that moment. He just can't see it. Jesus is doing something far deeper in your life. You just can't see it. The mirror is not going to reveal it. Nobody else is going to know it. But Jesus is doing something far deeper in your life. What if you're just at the shore? Jesus is right there, and he's asking you to do a simple thing. Just bring me out here. Just bring me there to work. Just bring me to your family. Just spend time with me here in the secret place. And that's all it is. And yet we're dreaming of taking over the world for Jesus, and all of those are great dreams, and we're dreaming of this and this and that. And God says, I just want you to do that simple thing because I need to do something deeper in you, and I know if you'll listen to my voice in this moment, you'll listen to my voice in that moment. And God is trying to get our attention, and he wants to do deeper things with us. But I don't understand is the reply. But I don't understand was the reply from Peter. And this is where it changes. It says, when he had finished speaking, here we go. Jesus knows what he's doing. He hasn't finished at all. He's just warming up. He's completed part A, but there's A, B, C, D, all the way around to Z to go. And here's the extra. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put it out even deeper. Let's go out even further and let down the nets for a catch. Whoa, that sounds like a good idea, but let's remember what's just happened. But Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. And you want us to do this? I mean, Lord, no disrespect, but I'm the fisherman and you're just the Son of God. That's it. I mean, I think that's what Peter was feeling at this moment. No disrespect, but I'm the fisherman. I've toiled all night. I've tried all night. We fished all night. We caught nothing. Lord, what are you trying to do? I was happy enough to go out in the middle of the lake to let you speak, but I don't want to go back fishing. I'm tired. I'm fed up. I don't want to do this. Lord, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand. How many times have we been at that place in our lives? Lord, I was happy enough doing that wee thing because it didn't cost me too much. It was okay. But now it changes, and this is going to cost me a lot because I'm tired. I'm confused. I'm weary. I'm fed up. And God, you don't understand because I know this stuff. But God asks us to do it anyway. Will we be faithful in that when he just increases the request a tiny bit more? Where do we find ourselves this morning? It won't work. It's impossible. This is what Peter was really saying. Lord, it just won't work. It's impossible. And then he does a thing that we all tend to do sometimes. Or maybe you're much better than me. But this is what I tend to do. It's like, will you do this for me? Okay, honey, I'll do it. You know, I didn't really want to, but I'm going to do it anyway. And this is what Peter does. He says, but because you say so. Because you say so, Lord. Okay, I'll do it. That is not a response of a willing servant. That's a response of a servant under duress. Of a servant that says, okay, I'll do it. Because I have to. Because, of course, you're bigger and you're better and you know things. And okay, I'll do it. Because you say so. I mean, if you really wanted to do it, you know what you say? Sure, no problem. Yeah, no worries. I'm on it. I'm doing it. No problem at all. Sure, no problem. I'm going to go for it. Jesus asked Peter to do something, and he says, oh, but Lord, and he comes back with all these things, the reasons why, and he catches himself on it. Maybe Jesus gave him a look. You know, sometimes you get the look. Maybe Jesus gave him the look, and he says, okay, but because you say so, I'll do it. And he turns it into a bit of, I don't want to, but I'm going to be obedient. I don't want to, but I'll go for it anyway. And of course, we know the end of the story. He's blown away in just a few minutes' time. He's blown away in just a few moments' time. And here's the question for our hearts this morning. How many times have we got to that moment and we've refused? You don't understand, Lord. This is impossible. And we've walked away. We've brought the boat back into shore and we've walked away. I give up. I'm not doing this thing anymore. I'm not doing this thing anymore. And this is where we're going to find ourselves multiple times next door. It's where we find ourselves in this building. It's where we find ourselves multiple times before as a church. It's where you're going to find yourself. As we go forward with this impossible dream, you know what's going to happen? We're going to find ourselves, no, it's not going to work, Lord. I've fished all night. You know, we've been praying all night and there's been no breakthrough come. And then Jesus is going to give us a word at the end of it when we're really at our wit's end. And he's going to say, right, breakthrough is now. Will you step forward? And then we have a decision to make, but we got to learn it in the good days. These are the good days, 44 seats. We're in the good days. We got to learn it now for the dry days. So we'll say, but no, Lord, but I know what you did before. But I know your testimony from before. I know your goodness from before. I will not give up. I'm going to trust and obey because there's no other way. I mean, that's just what I'm going to do. That is what I'm going to do because, God, you are with me. There was a simple thing I looked up this week. It's only in the most original translations. Once we get to NIV and it starts to paraphrase a tiny bit on the word. But if we get back to one of the original versions, King James, you King James, that's what it says. Special note just to drop this in. Maybe it'll be in a Bible quiz later on. But it says this. Jesus says, Simon Peter, I want you to go and drop the nets, meaning more than one. Got an S on the end. We know what that means. But then Simon comes back and he says, and this translation doesn't do it justice, but in original translations, you know what it comes back with? He says, okay, I'll go and drop the net. Okay, but because you said so, I'll go and drop the net. I'll do it if I have to, but I'm not going to do it with my whole heart. I'm going to do it because you said so. I'm going to do it because I need to, but I don't really want to. And he goes and just drops. He says, I'll just do one net. Now, thankfully, he catches himself on later on, and he realizes he's going to need multiple nets, and that's why he's got to call his partners, because he wasn't all in at the start. He wasn't all in. And here's the thing, and here's a lesson for us to learn. What is Jesus trying to get through to us, and what are the days ahead going to look like whenever it's going to look impossible, but we have to trust him in the midst of that impossible because there's breakthrough coming. And then when Jesus gives us the word, I'm going to encourage his church. I'm going to encourage our hearts to be all in that, because it's going to be easy to go, okay, because you say so, Lord, and because of this and because of that, I'll just do one net. And God says, no, follow what I say. Add the S's to it. Let's go. Let's go. Let's drop the nets. Drop them all. Because if Jesus has spoken a word, then there's going to be breakthrough. If Jesus has spoken and we know that, then we're going all in. I'm not half-hearted in this. I'm not half-hearted in this. And I want to encourage you in our lives, church, wherever you find yourself, be all in with the things of God. You can trust him. You can rely on him. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. And it may look like there's a time gap in between that you're unsure of, but keep trusting him because he is a good God. I want us to read on because our time is moving. Verse 6, we have no clue, really. Let's read this. Our God is unbelievable. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. How good is God? He doesn't give you just enough or he doesn't even run an important lesson here. I think that if this was me, do you know what I would do? I'd be like, well, forget them. I'm going to prove that I'm the greatest. I'm going to get in the boat after them. I'm going to take the boat out myself. Once they're discouraged and they've caught nothing, then I'm going to come in with the whole fish load myself. But Jesus isn't like that. He's so full of grace. He's so full of love. And you know what he does? Bible verses tells us again and again, he makes alliances for his men and women. He makes alliances for his disciples. He knows that they're not all in. He knows that Simon Peter doesn't really want to do this thing, but he's doing it because of obedience. But he wants to prove to him that even obedience under duress, even obedience with half a heart because of the goodness of God, I'll still bless abundantly. How many times have we not seen that in our lives? May not be totally all in, may not be praying with full conviction, but I'm going for it because I'm trying to trust God in the midst of that. And the goodness of God is this, that he still blesses us over, above, and beyond what we deserve because he's that good, because he's that incredible. The boats begin to sink. The nets begin to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. So good they're going to bring the other guys in. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This whole thing's crazy. This is amazing of the goodness of God. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. He was just blown away. Could you imagine this morning if they hadn't obeyed? Could you imagine if Simon had just said, Lord, no, I can't do it. No, can't do it. I've worked all night. You don't understand. It's been 8 hours of hard labor. I can't do it, Lord. No, I'm going home. I want to be honest. I've done that many times. I've said, no, Lord, I'm not doing it. You could have picked a better day. You could have picked a better season. I'm not doing it, Lord. Not doing it. It's a fight. Let me tell you that. It's a fight. Not doing it. Not in a million years, Lord. No, no, no. Person's right in front of me. He's telling me you got to do this. You got to help them here. You got to phone this person. You got to visit this person. This is not recently. This is years ago. Only joking. This could be 5 minutes ago. I'm like, no, Lord, I'm not doing it. You know how I feel. And he says, but no, I'm inside of you. You can do greater things than you know. You can do all things through me, through me. And it's hard to argue with a me, you know, because it's him. And he goes, I'm strengthening you. Let me work through your life. And sometimes I say, no. Sometimes I say no. Could you imagine if they don't obey? Could you imagine if they didn't listen? Could you imagine that? Is it possible that there are times in our lives where God's speaking to us and we're not listening and we're right on the edge of an impossible breakthrough? Could there be times where we're trying to get something from the word? I'm just getting nothing from the word. I'm just getting nothing when I read. And all we've got to do is just push through that tiny bit more and listen to his voice and suddenly the whole thing's going to open up. Could it be times where we're praying and believing and thinking to ourselves, this has been weeks, Lord. This has been years. Do you not understand, Lord? Of course, he knows everything. We're just right beside our breakthrough. And we get a word and we miss it because we're not listening. We've just given up. And it reminds me of this, is that keep pressing in. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your strength because it's precious on other things. Be all in with God. You can trust him. You can rely on him. He is that faithful. He is that good. Could you imagine if they had given up because they had worked all night? There are times when we're worn out. There are times this week where you've been worn out. There are times where you've been so broken, you thought, I can't even continue on with my faith, never mind believe for one single thing. I can't even continue on with that. And God says this morning, don't give up because I am with you. The Son of God lives in your heart. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. You have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead inside of you. Remind your mind of that sometimes. Remind your brain of that sometimes, because it needs to hear it and it needs to know it. And watch how it transforms things. Watch how it just changes your thoughts just straight away. Here's where I learn about God. And we said about it. It's not what you know. It's about who you know. God has blessed me with intelligence, some hopefully. He has blessed me with wisdom, some hopefully. He has blessed me with understanding of certain things. But I could have never conceived that after working all night, these professional fishermen knowing exactly what they're going to do, and then suddenly the next morning just to push out from the shore a tiny bit and drop nets and we're going to catch that much fish. I mean, there's no intelligence going to work that one out. There is no wisdom going to work that one out. There is no understanding earthly that's ever going to work that one out. It's only Jesus. It's only him. And this morning I want to issue this kind of instruction. We have no clue. We have no clue. And yet I don't think we need to, other than trust him with everything. Trust him with everything. He blows our minds every single time. They caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They give up so much hope. He gives up so much hope. It says when Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." See, in the middle of this story, what blows my mind the best, what blows my mind the most, is that Peter didn't even really believe. He doubted. And yet the goodness of God was so much that he still reaped such a harvest. Here's the question I want to pose in the midst of an impossible situation. Imagine if Peter had believed a bit more. Imagine if Peter had trusted God with his whole heart and went for it from the start. Do you know what I think? They probably would have cleared the whole lake. I think they would have probably cleared the whole blimmin' lake. They would have got far more than they would have been phoning guys all morning, get the boats down, get a boat. This thing's never ending. Because you remember way back in the Old Testament with the woman who hadn't got enough, and then the old prophet comes to her, and then the prophet says, "Make me some bread." And she said, but Lord, you don't understand. We don't have enough for to eat ourselves. How can I make you anything?" And he says, "Tell you what, get all the pots you can. God's going to fill them with oil." And the only reason the oil stops is because the pots stop. The only reason God stops in us is because we do the cutoff. "Can't handle anymore, Lord. Can't handle anymore." Two boats was all that Peter had the faith for. If he had really believed, that whole lake's being emptied. The whole thing's gone. The whole thing is gone. How do I know? Because God is a good God. God is an incredible God. And in the spite of all of our unbelief, what happened? While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He emptied all of heaven to come to earth to sacrifice for us because he's such a good God. And so, church, this morning, I want to encourage your heart. What are the doubts? What are the fears? What are the worries? What are the concerns? Don't allow them for them to hold you back or to give up or for you to miss. Push forward even in the midst of those because God can do something incredible. Final point, and then we're done. They abandoned everything and followed him. I just love this. I want to read it. "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid.'" Can I just make this one simple point? What was the reason that Peter struggled to believe? What was the reason that Peter struggled to understand? What was the reason that Peter was willing to give up? Because he was full of fear. He was like, but this. And what did he need was a heart transplant of love. Because in the midst of every season, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how distraught you are, no matter how difficult it has been, if you will trust in God, his love will cover all that it needs to cover. And it will change and transform every single situation. He said, "Don't be afraid. Jesus knows what's really going on here. It's not that Peter's anti-Jesus. It's not that Peter necessarily wants to believe against Jesus. He's just fearful and he's full of doubts." And Jesus speaks to those doubts, and he speaks to those fears, and he says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." From now on, you will fish for people. Church, can we just grab this final point in our last few seconds, in our last few moments? Peter didn't even believe, wasn't even sure what was going to happen, wasn't even a good fisherman, couldn't even catch fish right. But by the end of that 24 hours, by the end of that one day, he went from a fisherman to a guy who's going to change the world forever. He went from a person who was just trying to make a living, just trying to grab a few fish, to a person who's going to reap a harvest for the kingdom of God, who's going to go down in history as just one of the most important guys that ever lived outside of Christ. What can the Lord not do in your life? What can he not do? Can we stand this morning? We're going to pray. Church, what a 24 hours. Fire that verse up one more time, Peter. I'm going to read this verse 11. What a 24 hours. Remember the first moment. They're out on the lake, fishing all night, tired, weary, no clue what's going to happen. Then the very next morning, one day, Jesus is standing on the shore. By the end of the 24 hours, look what happens. Verse 11. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. I mean, what a transformation. What a change because of the goodness of God. The Lord comes to us this morning. He knows what we face. He knows what we're going through. And where do you find yourself in that story? Do you find yourself at the very beginning of the story in terms of you're the fisherman or you're just trying to toil and you're just trying to make things happen? And you're full of hope that something good's going to take place. You're full of hope that something's going to happen. And that's where you are. Or maybe you're a tiny bit further along and you've been fishing all night and now you're hopeless because you're thinking to yourself, but I know what I'm doing and I can do this thing and I'm going to make this thing happen. And then before you know it, you're hopeless. Went from hopeful to hopeless, and what do you do now? Or maybe you're like partway through the story where you hear the words of Jesus but you don't really like them. Okay, well, just do them anyway. Or maybe you find yourself at the end of the story blown away by the goodness of God. And said, you know what, Lord, you're so good in the midst of my bad that I'm willing to give up everything and follow you. I'm willing to abandon it all. And church, this morning, I want to encourage your heart. What if we're not giving up everything because we've just got those mundane days have just accumulated for far too long? What if we've forgotten to give up everything because we just think we've got to do everything ourselves? What if we're not giving up everything? What if we're not abandoning everything because we've just got caught in the trap of life that says it's always going to be like this? And we forgot that in 24 hours, Jesus can do anything if we're willing to listen and obey. If we're willing to, by faith, just follow him. If we're willing to just, by faith, let go of everything else. And this is in here, not just because it's a good story, but because it's the only way to follow Jesus. They pulled their old lives up on shore. They left it there. Their old business, their old lives, their old everything, and they abandoned it and they followed after him. You see, the only way to live as a Christian, and this is so hard because we have such an innate independence inside of us, but really the only way, and the Bible just says it over and over and over again, it says you've got to give up everything and follow me. What does that mean, Lord? It means everything. It means my job. I've got to provide for my family. No, the Lord provides. You've just got to work faithfully with what God's given you. Lord, I've got to protect myself. No, the Lord protects you. You've just got to be faithful with serving the Lord and being faithful with giving all that you have to him. But Lord, I've got to do this, but I've got to do that. No, you've got to give that to the Lord and cast all your cares on him. Trust him with that stuff and you simply follow because that's who you are. And believe every day that that 24 hours can change the world. Every day. Because inside of us, the King of Glory rests. Inside of us, Jesus lives. The Holy Spirit rests in us. Lord, I don't want to be a light that's covered up. Lord, I want to be a light that shines bright, guiding, directing, showing the goodness of God. God is a good God. We may be in the midst of that story, the beginning, the middle, or the end, but I encourage you, God has a better ending than the beginning. If we will give everything to him, if we will trust him, what can he not do in our lives? Let's just pray for a moment.